Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I'm welcomed in by the one and only Stephen Deaton. How are you, Stephen?
Hey, man. Good. How are you?
Doing good, man. I'm about exhausted, to be completely honest with you, but we're going to record this podcast and knock it out, man.
Yep.
Sweet. Well, Stephen, we actually just came off of a national championship game this past week, man. Did you get a chance to catch it?
I did. I caught it. I saw it. Looked like a FCS versus FBS matchup on a September Saturday with nothing going on is what it looked like. It was pitiful, to be honest. And the playoff committee, they ought to be ashamed of themselves for putting TCU in just on the fact that they're undefeated. You got to look at more than that. You got to see more than that. I don't care. I don't care. They were not a playoff team. Michigan was not a playoff team. And in my eyes, you know, nobody wants to see two or three teams in the same conference in it. But Alabama and Tennessee both run Michigan and TCU off the field as well, just like Georgia did. And to see Michigan and TCU make it in that top four, yeah, their game was good, but they both suck. So, you know, I mean, whatever it is, what it is. And I hope, you know, the committee, you know, they're going to the 12 team, you know, or the 16 team, whatever it is, playoff next year. And so that'll help alleviate and fix some of that stuff. But, man, it was brutal. It was brutal to watch.
Did you see the quote that the Tennessee head coach had on one of the podcasts with the former NFL players?
I did.
They asked them, they said, hey, what do you think about this playoff model? What do you think it should be? And he's like, oh, man, that's easy. He's like, just take the four top teams of the SEC and just play it out, and you got a champion.
That's exactly right.
Man, you know, so that's what
exactly
we're starting
right.
to see. So,
I mean, that's what's going to happen. This year, my honest opinion, the top four this year was Ohio State, Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia. That was the top four in my eyes. You had Tennessee, who was good all year long, who got beat up on Georgia. I know their quarterback went down, but BJ, if I'm being honest, that backup quarterback that they have looks really, really good.
Oh yeah.
So look, I just, of course, we're SEC homers, so we, you know, we love the SEC, but man, I just, it's the best conference in football, and it's not close. And people who don't watch college football and people who don't watch the SEC, they don't understand it. They don't understand it. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, and I think just by looking at the history of the draft classes in the SEC, with just the productivity that the former SEC players are actually producing at an NFL label is just absurd. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, these are players that we're getting to watch every weekend here. And mm-hmm. So, man, it's just it's an amazing conference. And I agree with you, man. That game was a snooze fest. My wife actually asked me, she's like, hey, are you going to watch it? And at the time, it was 10-7 Georgia. And I was like, yeah, I'll probably turn it on. And so I did a couple of things getting ready for the next day, turned the game on, and it was like 35-7 in a matter of probably 10, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, you know what? Let's just turn it off. Let's watch TV, do something else. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, I get it though, Stephen. So, man, I know we usually take this time and do like our recaps of our weekly performances and stuff like that in Dynasty and Fantasy Football. But man, we've reached the offseason now, Stephen. And so mm-hmm. I think the question that we have to ask now is this. What's your approach during this dead time off season in Dynasty? Like, I know a lot of people are taking mental breaks. I know some people are trying to get their lineups adjusted and trying to trade and get some value for some picks and stuff like that. What's your personal approach in the off season in Dynasty, Stephen?
I think right now I've found myself as my off season is approaching here. It's here. I'm kind of taking a little break, but also I'm still engaged. I mean, checking my teams and just kind of looking at different things. But for the most part, in this moment, in these next couple of weeks, I'm taking just a little break. I mean, we got a little ways to the rookie drafts, you know, in the NFL draft. You shouldn't have your rookie draft until after the NFL draft anyway. And so, yeah, it's a time to position yourself. It's a time to position yourself for a rookie draft. Now, can you still sell some guys, some veteran pieces maybe? Yeah, if somebody really loves a guy and you want to move him, Then yeah, but I think your veteran guys, if you hadn't sold them, you need to hold them because their value's low right now. Being a veteran, coming into the rookie draft, a lot of times these veteran guys just get low value. Their value does not start to rise until we get back around to the season and people realize, oh, these veteran guys are still producing. They'd be a nice piece to have. So the veteran guys, unless you just get what you feel is a nice deal for one, you probably need to hold because most of the time people are gonna lowball you on the veterans.
Yeah, I agree, man. I know right now, man, it's a tough time right now because it is not a good time to be buying running backs, that's for sure. Specifically with the draft coming up, because you have no idea who's going to be where, whose job's going to be taken, who in the offseason is going to sign to what team and things like that. So I'm in a lot of leagues right now and I see a lot of people trying to move running backs. But I'm kind of like you, Steven. Like, I got some leagues right now. I'm thinking of one where I have Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, and Zeke. And their value is at an all-time low right now. So I'm probably just holding and seeing what's out there, honestly. Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, Steven, man, the playoffs are starting. We're actually got wild card weekend coming up this weekend. Let's walk through some of these weekend's matchups, man, and just kind of pick some winners and some losers here.
Okay. Yeah, let's start with Seattle Seahawks and San Francisco 49ers. The Seahawks have to go to the 49ers, who've been playing well with Brock Purdy lately. You got the 49ers, really good defense. I think Tyler Lockett's back this week. Is he for sure back?
Yeah, last I heard he was.
Okay, so for sure Tyler Lockett's back. That gives Geno Smith another weapon to go along alongside DK Metcalf and Kenneth Walker. It's probably his top three offensive weapons. So what do you think, BJ? Where do you see this matchup headed?
I'm going 49ers, man. We'll talk about Brock Purdy and Trey Lance later on. But, man, it's just the fact of that offense and just the offensive scheme seems like it's fit for whoever the quarterback is there. And just with the weapons they've built around with Kittle, Ayuk, Debo, and Christian McCaffrey, it doesn't look like anybody's stopping that offense as of right now. And so I know the Seahawks offense has been struggling as of late, despite Kenneth Walker, who seems to be the only bright spot here lately. But, man, I think the 49ers take this one.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I think that going to San Francisco is really hard in and of itself. Now, these playoff matchups are going to have a different feel. A lot of times they are dominated by defense, you know, just because it's just another atmosphere and another level when you get to the NFL playoffs. But I still agree. I think the 49ers offense in and of itself, McCaffrey, Kittle, Debo Samuel, then you got Ayuk probably at the back of that. That offense is going to be, you know, and Purdy's got it clicking. So I agree with you. I think their offense is definitely clicking better than Geno's. The line is 9.5. San Francisco's favored by 9.5, you know. If that tells you anything or gives you any kind of inclination on what Vegas thinks. So, yeah, I'm with you, BJ. I'm on the 49ers this week.
Absolutely, man.
All right, next one here. We got our next playoff matchup. We're looking at the Los Angeles Chargers are going to be going versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. You got Herbert coming to town versus Lawrence. You know, Herbert versus Lawrence. It's a pretty big quarterback marquee matchup between two teams that – you know, are kind of on different paths here. I feel like the Chargers are kind of limping into the playoffs for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the Jaguars are just coming on strong into the playoffs. I think the Jaguars have won like 7 of the last 9 maybe or something like that. You know, just absolutely dominating teams. I watched the end of their game last week against the Titans, probably the last quarter and a half. And, man, the Jaguars' defense was just smothering. I mean, they were all over the field. They were everywhere. And, you know, of course, you know, they were going against Josh Dobbs, who's, you know, obviously challenged at the quarterback position. So, you know, it's not like he's going against Justin Herbert. But, man, they were just everywhere. They're all over the place. They're getting pressure on him. There was no open windows to throw the ball. And so, look – to be honest, BJ, I'm on Jacksonville this week.
Nice, man. I was going to say the same thing. Like, I think the Chargers have more of a chance of pulling it out. But, dude, I'm going Jacksonville, man. I want to see them win. I want to see them upset the Chargers, who going into the season were some people's Super Bowl favorites. And so I just, man, that offense is clicking. It's a fun team to watch, Steven. And just like what you said, man, the defense was killer last week. And so me personally, I'm rooting for Jacksonville, and I hope they pull it out.
Yeah, I think it's feeling like a Cinderella story in a way. You know, like, I know they've been good for the last few weeks, but it's kind of feeling like they started the season so bad and went from, you know, they won the AFC South, so I guess you could say worst to first last year. Mm-hmm. And so, look, I'm with you. I'm rooting for Trevor Lawrence. I'm rooting for their RB1 of that class, Travis Etienne. I'm rooting for that entire offense to be offense to really click in their first playoff matchup. And again, these playoff games are just different. So we'll see. But man, I'm on the Jaguars this week. I like them a lot.
Absolutely.
All right, next matchup here. We got the Miami Dolphins versus the Buffalo Bills. And BJ, let's be honest. Let's just be honest with each other right now. We don't have to do anything else. We don't have to say anything else. Mm-mm. The Buffalo Bills are winning this game. No Tua Tagovailoa. It looks like Teddy Bridgewater might be out as well. You're going against Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, Devin Singletary, James Cook. You're going against that offense in Buffalo. Chalk it up. Buffalo Bills by a lot.
Oh, yeah. Bills by a lot, man. I think the offense came out today and said that Skylar Thompson was starting this game. And I don't think he has a chance, man. I'm Bills all day, and honestly, I think they cover the line of, what is it, 13 right now?
Yeah, it's 13, it's 13 right now, yeah.
Yeah, I think they cover it pretty easily.
Yeah, I got Bills, and I got them covering too, if that means anything to you. But Bills by a lot. I mean, the Dolphins aren't going to be able to move the ball with the quarterback position back there. It's just not going to happen, especially against the Bills in Buffalo in a playoff atmosphere. The Dolphins, I like them. I like their weapons. I like Tua, but Tua's not playing, and the Dolphins are going to get creamed here. And I don't think it's fair to the coach. I've seen some stuff about them maybe firing him, which is insane to me. But I guess to each their own. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about them possibly firing the coach at Miami?
You talking about McDaniel?
Yeah.
I think it's an overreaction, in all honesty. I mean, I'm all for giving coaches a chance and things like that. But, dude, like, I looked at the stats, and I think Miami is a very hot streak, cold streak team. I ain't got the stats with me right now, but I know, like, at one point they were, like, 1-3, and then they lost 3. Then they won 5, and they lost 3, and things like that. But my thing is, man, is that they've got pieces there, and – I don't think it's right to fire a coach that's in the playoffs, man. You know?
Yeah. You're firing a coach. You're talking about, and I've seen reports, like actual reports from credible sources, that there's rumors that after the season he may be fired. And
yep.
You're talking about firing a coach that, like you said, has made the playoffs, and he's made it without Tua for a lot of the season. I mean, oh, Tua's missed a good bit. I mean, he's missed quite a few games. So look, I don't like it. I think McDaniel's good for Tua, and if they want Tua to be the guy, they got to keep McDaniel. On sidetrack right here, just for a second before we continue on these matchups, since we're talking about coaches and maybe firings and coaches being fired, Cliff Kingsbury was canned this week in Arizona. What do you think about that? What do you think that does for Kyler Murray? Is that a good thing for Kyler Murray? In my eyes, it's got to be.
Oh yeah, that's like, I know. I listen to the Fantasy Footballers podcast every now and then, and they are all Arizona truthers since they are from that area, and they were celebrating on the podcast. And so with it, man, I think just the fact that it seems like he has kind of hindered Kyler Murray over the last couple of years, and then now there's also talks kind of piggybacking off of that of DeAndre Hopkins being moved in the offseason. I know, like what you were saying before the podcast, Steven, that Sean Payton's actually kind of being mentioned with Arizona as well. And so I think with it, man, I think with Kyler, when he does get back, whenever that is, that I think it's gonna be better for him for sure.
Yeah, you could see the disdain for not only Cliff towards Kyler, but Kyler towards Cliff. We saw him getting into a shouting match this year.
Every game.
It was not a good situation. And look, people can blame Kyler if they want, say Kyler's a crybaby, whatever they want to do. But Kyler's got the money. They paid Kyler the money. I still think Kyler's talented. He's a talented player. I think you got to, you know, we'll see. Everybody deserves maybe a second chance with another guy. Kyler deserves a little bit of a reboot and a restart here with a new regime, a new head coach. And man, what about Sean Payton? What if Sean Payton goes to Arizona? Let's flip the coin over for just a little bit on that. What do you think Sean Payton can do for Kyler Murray?
I think he can build him into a sustainable quarterback, man. We've kind of seen Kyler Murray fall off, you know. And to be honest with you, Steven, I mentioned at the very beginning of this season on one of our podcasts, I said they've got to get Kyler Murray weapons. DeAndre Hopkins is a fantastic wide receiver. Marquise Brown is a decent wide receiver. But even with that, man, outside of them two, who else do you have on this offense? I mean, I know you got Ertz, old man Ertz, and then you got McBride, who didn't seem to really do anything until he was unlocked by, who was it, David Blough in the last game of the season. Mm-hmm. And so with this, man, I think if you can build around Kyler, which they need to do, they have a young quarterback. Kyler's what, only 25, 24 or something like that?
Yep.
And so with it, man, he's got plenty of years left. I think give him time to come back, like what you said, initiate somewhat of a rebuild. And then if you have Sean Payton come in, who is used to, man, having an offensive mind, I think it does wonders for him.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, me as a Saints fan, the talk about that is, you know, a first round pick for Sean Payton, I think is the, that's the floor. That's the floor, yeah. Right? I mean, I don't think there's anything that's, you're not, if you want Sean Payton, you're giving up a first of some sort. The Saints are in a bad situation of not having a first this year. There's no way they let him go for less than that in my eyes. And as a Saint fan, man, I'm a little bit excited about what we might can get for Sean Payton because, you know, I think right now the Arizona Cardinals own the 102, right? And so, man, like you said with that, I mean that could be huge for the Saints and grabbing a quarterback in this class is really what they need. I would be absolutely stoked for that to happen. And if this Arizona Cardinals and Sean Payton thing gains some traction and some ground, I definitely see that as a possibility.
Yep.
All right, let's move on. A little sidetrack there, but let's move on here. New York Giants versus the Minnesota Vikings this week. You got Daniel Jones and Kirk Cousins, the battle of the white QB, if you will. The two most white QBs you can have, right? I mean, these guys, you see Kirk Cousins dabbing it up, and Daniel Jones just looks like your typical Friday Night Lights QB. So you got these going on here. The Vikings, man, they actually – I saw such a strange, crazy stat on the Vikings. They are actually – what are they, 13-3, I believe?
Yeah, 13-4.
13-4. They're 13-4, and they have actually been outscored on the season, if you can believe that. If you can believe that, it is true. They are actually in the negative on the season. Which is such a strange stat, I know. But, man, I think, I don't know. I'm going to let you go first here, BJ. I've got the last two.
I got you, man. I think the Giants keep it close. And I don't want to trust Kirk Cousins in a 3:30 game. You know what I mean? Because it seems like any game that's not 12 o'clock he struggles with. But I look back at the stats. These two teams actually played each other in week 16, I believe. Saquon Barkley feasted against the Vikings just because that run defense is terrible. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is that Justin Jefferson could not be stopped. It was a game where he put up, I think, 30-something fantasy points. And then it's also the game that TJ Hockenson went off where he had two touchdowns and all that. So I think this is actually going to be a good game to watch. I think it's one that we need to actually turn our attention to. But I think the Vikings pull it out on the back of Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, man, I can get behind that, and it's in Minnesota too, so it's just going to be one of those things that, man, I'm going to have to agree with you. I think Minnesota's going to pull it out. I think that the Giants can keep it close, and I think they probably will keep it close. But man, I'm like you. It might be a game that's really worth tuning into. If you're interested in it, it's -3. -3 is the line there on that game this week. All right, a big matchup here. The next two here are pretty big matchups in my eyes. The Baltimore Ravens versus the Cincinnati Bengals. And I say big matchup, but man, what about Lamar? What's going on there, BJ? Is he really hurt?
I was listening to a podcast today. I think it was a Ray GQ over at the Debbie Destination, or Destination Debbie was talking. And he said, man, Lamar just saw Roquan Smith get $100 million for a linebacker. I think the Bears paid him that. And first off, I think it's dumb. But also, if he just saw that, I'm pretty sure his PCL that he's struggling with just immediately started hurting. But with it, man, I think Lamar is making money moves right now, if I'm honest with you. I think with him, he is doing what's best for his future. And I know a lot of people will be like, well, this is a terrible way to do it and all this. The dude is changing how quarterbacks are looked at in free agency. And just like you've mentioned multiple times, he is his own agent. And so he's not going to put his future path at risk in a game that he thinks that he can lose. You know what I mean? Like, let's just be honest. It's the Cincinnati Bengals, man. You know? And
right.
So with it, I mean, the Bengals went to the Super Bowl last year with a team that we didn't think could go to the Super Bowl, and with a struggling offensive line. And so with it, man, I think Lamar wants the bag. I think that as of right now, he has an excuse. And if you actually look at, there was a video posted on Twitter a couple weeks ago where they took John Harbaugh, and what they did is that they clipped together every single comment that he made about the Lamar Jackson injury. And what you saw was optimism, but then as the weeks went on, he stopped talking about it, and he said, I just want to focus in on the game, but I don't want to talk about that right now. And he started seeing kind of like a depressing head coach here. And so I think the relationship is broken down. I think Lamar is about to get out. I could easily see Lamar being traded, honestly, or even, man, I think if he gets franchise tag next year, I don't know if he plays, you know? So I think it's something to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if the relationship between Harbaugh and Lamar is souring, or if the relationship between the
Ravens in
organization and Lamar is souring. Yep. I think Harbaugh loves Lamar Jackson.
I do too.
I don't know that the organization is sold on paying Lamar Jackson that money. And Lamar, again, he's his own agent. He gets to do his own thing. He gets to do whatever, kind of whatever he wants to. And all players do, but they have agents that negotiate on their behalf. Except Lamar's the one doing the negotiating on his own behalf here. And man, he's not going to be a Raven, is he? He's not going to be a Raven. And I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly okay with that. I think the Ravens should have already paid him by now, and it's their own fault if they miss out on Lamar. And I don't blame Lamar one bit for going ahead and taking this time to get healthy, to make sure he's right, so he doesn't have some kind of catastrophic injury. Mm-hmm. Before he can finally get his payday, that he is by far in a way, deserving of at this point in his career. But back to the game, man. I'm with you, Cincinnati Bengals. Man, I think they're gonna run them here. I think they're gonna take the win here against the Ravens, especially without Lamar playing. Is Huntley going? I'm assuming Huntley's starting.
Yeah, as far as I know this kind of up in the air, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
I know Huntley was questionable. He missed last week, but it was game time decision last week. I'm assuming he's going to be healthy enough to go. But even with Huntley back there, man, it's just not the same with Lamar. And I think the Bengals are going to be too much. The line 8.5 Bengals way, -8.5. So yeah, give me the Bengals here against the Ravens. All right, last matchup, marquee matchup of Wild Card Weekend, in my opinion, might be possibly one of the most watched games of Wild Card Weekend. You got the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, what could be possibly Tom Brady's last NFL football game. I think it's a marquee matchup. I think that there'll be tons of people watching this game, and I think that it'll have some high viewership and some high implications. The question is, are these two teams and two quarterbacks going to live up to all these viewers?
Oh man, I don't like how Dak's been playing, and I know we talked about this not just too recently. But we talked about the interceptions he's thrown, how they bounce off the hands of the receivers and things like that. I'll be honest with you, Steven, and this may be crazy for me to even think, but you saw what Brady did in a must-win game against the Carolina Panthers last week. And I understand it's the Panthers, you know, but he torched them. It was either the last week or the week before. I can't remember. But it's the game that Mike Evans went out and put up 50 fantasy points. I think it was week 17. Mm-hmm. And with it, man, we kind of got to see vintage Brady, you know. I'm looking at the box score right now, and Brady ended up throwing for 432 yards with three touchdowns with only 11 incompletions out of 45 attempts. Like I said, I understand it's the Panthers. I understand the defense is bad and all that. It seems, though, that whenever Tom Brady's back is against the wall, he produces. The only matchup, the only game that I can think of where this was not the case was the playoff game a couple years back whenever it was against Tennessee. I think Brady was down by just a little bit. It looked like it was going to be a last-minute drive. He threw a pick six. It was ball game. I think Brady comes out, and I think he balls out. Just me personally. That's kind of the vibes that I'm getting. I know that the Cowboys offense, I mean, it's kind of hit or miss. You'll have some weeks where Dak looks amazing and Pollard's killing it and CD's doing good and Zeke's doing great and all this. But I don't know, man. Just something about this matchup with it being in Tampa Bay makes me think that if this truly is Brady's last little run with the Bucs, which, I mean, rumors are kind of out there, I think Brady's fixing to show people why he's the GOAT as far as quarterback goes.
I'm scared for Dallas. I'm scared for Dak, and I'm a Dak fan, and I'm kind of in the same boat with you. We're talking about Tom Brady here. We're talking about the GOAT. We're talking about a guy whose life, literal his life, is ingrained in the NFL. I'm really scared for Dak, and I want Dak to win. I want Dak and the Cowboys to win because I'm a Dak fan, and I'm obviously not a Tom Brady fan. He's obviously my nemesis in the NFC South in a way, even though he's only been there a few years. But man, I'm just worried. I'm worried that, like you said, I'm worried that in Tampa Bay that Dak might struggle. He's been struggling lately, and he just has not looked good back there. And he even owned up to it last week. Post game presser, he said, mm-hmm. "Man, I was not good. You know, just not good. It's not good enough, and it's on me." But I'm just worried, man. Off the top of your head, BJ, if you don't know this, quickly spit it out. Tom Brady's record versus the Dallas Cowboys.
No idea.
7-0.
Did you know that the Bucs are the only team right now in the playoffs with a losing record of 8-9?
Yeah.
And if you've ever seen that Michael Jordan clip or meme from The Last Dance where he's looking at the iPad and he says, and I took that personally, I think Tom Brady kind of has that same mentality to where he's wanting people to write them off.
Right.
And
yeah.
I think he comes out, man. I think he starts slinging it.
Yeah. 7-0 versus the Cowboys in his career, man. That's going to be, man. I know you went Bucks and you think Brady's going to do it. I want to go Bucks, but I can't do it. I'm going to go Cowboys. The Lions -2.5 Cowboys. I think and I hope. I think Brady plays well. I do, but I hope that Dak and company get that offense clicking again, and can just outscore Brady in this wild card weekend matchup. I'm going Dallas -2.5.
Hey man, I love to see it, man. That's my thing. And so I don't know. Like I would love to see Dallas win, but also I kind of like seeing Cowboys fans disappointed every year.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I'm definitely not a Cowboy fan. I'm obviously a Saint fan, but I'm a Dak Prescott fan. So, you know, I want to see him do well. I want to see him go far. I just do. I wouldn't even say that the Cowboys are my next team. I'm just a Dak Prescott fan. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, I just want to see him do well. Moving on here, let's move on to our underdog section here of the week. Let's recap last week. Derrick Henry, over 100.5 rushing yards, hit with me. With 109 rushing yards, he crushed it. Trevor Lawrence, over 251.5 passing yards, was a miss with 212 passing yards. That matchup last week with the Titans and the Jags, man, it was a defensive mm-hmm. struggle, man. Man, there's defense all over the field. And Trevor Lawrence and company too was, man, the Titans were good on defense. I'll have to give it to them. Now, it took Derrick Henry a long, long time to get over that 100.5 rushing yard mark that I had. And so the two defenses were really, really going at each other. So Trevor Lawrence missed on his passing yardage there. Jerick McKinnon, for me, I had him over 29.5 receiving yards. I thought, man, the way he's playing, the way Mahomes is looking his way, man, in this game where Mahomes is, 400 yards away from the record, I feel like he might check down and try to get some easy ones. Jerick McKinnon, 0 receiving yards. So a miss there. He actually caught a touchdown pass of 2 yards early on in the game, but he must have caught a pass and lost yardage on something at some point. So, yeah, Jerick McKinnon, man, he bust everybody's underdog ticket. I even saw some later in the week. I had him over 29.5. The line jumped all the way up to like 34. So people were betting the over. People were betting the over. So everybody lost on Jerick McKinnon this past week. So, yeah, so that's that. BJ, your recap here this week, Patrick Mahomes, you had him over 317.5 passing yards, was a brutal miss with only 202, man. He missed it by a mile. And, look, we thought Mahomes would be slinging it. We thought, he's been slinging it. He's been going over that, in so many games. But look, man, this just happens sometimes. And this was just one of those weeks it felt like. Christian Kirk, over 53.5 receiving yards. You actually hit that one with 99. We talked about that. We talked about how much we loved that Christian Kirk line. And even though Trevor Lawrence only threw for 212, 99 of those was to Kirk. So that was definitely his favorite target this past week. And so, Christian Kirk, I liked that line when you took it, and it paid off this past week. And then the CeeDee Lamb line, we just talked about Dak and how atrocious he was last week, and that whole Cowboys offense. You took over 74.5 receiving yards. Even as atrocious as they were, CeeDee still had over 50 receiving yards, but, man, it just wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to get up there to that 74 mark. So, man, BJ, another not great week in underdog for us, 2-4 on total on the week. Let's try to get back on track this week. I'll let you lead off this week's picks.
All right, man. So – I was looking at the underdog picks earlier today before we got into the podcast, and one line kind of drew my attention. And like what you said, Steven, it seems like the Chargers are limping into this playoff ride. And one line that they have that interests me was Justin Herbert, and the player prop is 7.5 rushing yards. And so it made me do a little bit of research and actually look into it a little bit. All right. So on the year, he's hit this line, I think, six times maybe. But with it, when you're looking at these stats, you're looking at the lines and things like that, you want to make sure that you're looking at the trends. What's the last couple of games look like? Instead of looking at the season as a whole, what have they been doing recently? And so with that being said, man, something that really, really surprised me. The last 4 games, Steven, guess how many rushing yards combined this man has?
Ooh. 10.
4. And so one game he actually rushed for 5 attempts and only had 1 yard. The last time that he hit this line was 5 weeks ago. He has missed it the last 4. Before that, he missed it with 7, and then he had a 3-game run before that where he hit it. So with it, man, just recently, I think that Herbert hasn't been having to scramble. And I know this week they are playing in a matchup that we both think is going to be fairly close. And also with them playing against Jacksonville, I think it's going to be a passing attack. And like what you just said, that Jacksonville defense has actually been showing up a little bit, specifically their D-line. And so with it, man, I'm actually going with the under here. Justin Herbert under 7.5 rushing yards. I think this is one of those to where you can go the under and feel a little bit safer than going with the over.
Yeah, man, I agree with you, man. You got to go back and look at what's been happening. What have you done for me lately? Type of situation. And man, with those rushing yards and that number, I get the reasoning because on one scramble, Herbert can sneak out, can scoot out for a 15 to 20 yard gain. He can. He's got the ability to do that. We all understand that. But like you just said, he has just not been scrambling like he has in the past. And I don't know why. Do we think he might be skittish because of that injury, that cartilage injury early in the season? He don't really want to run and get hit. Who knows? I don't know. I'm not saying that's it. I don't know. I'm just saying trending-wise, by trends, as you just said, over his past, did you say 4 games?
Yep, 4 games.
Oh, his past four games, four rushing yards. I mean, at some point you just got to say, hey, let's roll with it, right? Under 7.5. It feels like the smart play to do here. So I like it. I like it a lot. Speaking of Herbert, who is also my underdog pick this week, his passing line is 282.5 passing yards. Now, BJ, I know Herbert has slung it around before. I know this year he's had multiple 300-plus passing yard games. If you want me to be exact, he's had six of those, six 300-plus passing yard games this year, which is, you know, that's a good number on the year for 300-plus passing yards. His passing line, as I said, 282.5 passing yards. The last three games he's played, he has not eclipsed 280 passing yards. In a playoff matchup where we just said the defense has been really good and flying around all over the field, Jacksonville's hot, hottest team maybe in the NFL in this moment, Justin Herbert is not going to pass for 282 passing yards this week. I don't see it. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's going to be under duress. The long balls to Mike Williams have not been there as of late. That's where he gets a lot of his chunk plays and chunk yardages, and those plays have just not been there for him. Keenan Allen is the underneath guy. I know Eckler's a nice weapon and can break one at any moment out of the backfield on a swing pass or something. But, man, the last three games, Herbert has not hit this number. I'm going with trends. I got Herbert under 282.5 passing yards.
Man, I don't mind it a bit, Steven. It seems like, I'll be honest, I think the reason that we've been missing a lot of our underdogs is because we've actually been going the over on a ton of these. Man, if you just look at the trends and see, I mean, 282 passing yards is a tough line to hit. And so even with Herbert being an elite quarterback, like I said, man, you got a struggling offense to where, I mean, I don't know. I agree with you wholeheartedly, Steven, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I know it's hard to explain because we all like to see offense. We all want to think, man, Herbert's going to light it up. There's going to be so much passing in this game, and Keenan Allen's going to do his thing, and Mike Williams is going to catch a ton of balls, and Eckler's going to have three touchdowns. But, man, I just don't see it. I don't see it, and as I just said, I'm going off trends. I'm going off history here of the past 3 weeks. And again, a playoff matchup's always different. It feels like the defenses always play better than the offenses in some of these playoff matchups. So, man, give me Herbert under 282.5.
All right, Steven, I'm going with old reliable for my number two player prop. It's one that I've actually hit on. This will be my third time, hopefully. Saquon Barkley over 0.5 rushing touchdowns. Basically, all we got to do is just bank on Saquon scoring a rushing touchdown against a terrible Minnesota defense. I'm looking back at Saquon's numbers back in week 16, where they actually played at Minnesota as well, or at Minneapolis, or whatever you want to call them. And with it, he rushed for 14 rushes for 84 yards and a touchdown. And then he also caught 8 receptions for 49 yards. Man, just the touchdown rate right now that Saquon is rushing at, and he actually is coming off of a rest game in week 18. So he got that much needed kind of break on his legs. Dude, I think Saquon smashes this. I wouldn't bank on him having 2 touchdowns if the line was at no go. But with this, man, just the chances of him falling in the end zone in a probably decent affair, decent high scoring matchup. Man, I think he hits it.
Yeah, man, I think so too. Barkley's a beast. He has scored all year in these situations. And again, like you said, against a very, very suspect Minnesota defense, I really like this play. I think he definitely can probably get in the end zone, and the likelihood that he does is higher than the likelihood that he doesn't. So I'm with you on this. Saquon over a half rushing touchdown. My second prop here is a guy who has been up and down, man. He's been up and down all year long. It's a rushing line of 61.5 yards. This player, over the past 3 weeks, has posted 107 rushing yards, 133 rushing yards, and 114 rushing yards. Over the past 3 weeks, he has went over 100 rushing yards. And for his line to only be 61.5 this week, BJ, tell me what's going on here with this guy. my boy, Kenneth Walker, you know, and I know he's had his struggles, and we even talked about him last week. We were, was it last week or week, maybe a week before last, we talked about how we thought, man, he's just not going to do it. He's coming off his injury. He's looked in and he killed us. He smoked, yep. He smashed us in the ground. He pushed our face in the mud. I'm not going to let him do it to me again, BJ. I'm taking Kenneth Walker over the 61 and a half rushing yards. I think, again, the game again is going to be against the 49ers this week. But I think that the Seahawks know that they've got to keep it out of that offense's hand. They got to keep it. They got to control the clock. They got to control the tempo. Are they going to have to score points to win the game? Yes. The only worry for Kenneth Walker this week is if they get down big and early, then this becomes a question. But if they play tempo, if they keep the ball, if they play time of possession, if they run the ball, I think it's very likely that Kenneth Walker hits this line of 61 and a half rushing yards. BJ, give me the over.
I do not mind it a bit. I will not be burned by Kenneth Walker twice. And so with this, man, I think the only way the Seahawks stay in this game is by running the clock. And so, I mean, I think Geno Smith is an admirable quarterback. I think that he has done really, really well this year. Steven, I don't know if you saw this or not, but I think he actually broke the record of Seahawks passing the season. Broke it from amazing. Russell Wilson. And so with it, man, I agree with you. I think that he gets plenty of opportunities, and I think that he gets the yardage as well. My last line, another quarterback rushing yards stat. Joe Burrow, under 11 and a half rushing yards. Man, these rushing yard ones are actually really scary for a quarterback, Steven. Just like what you said, they could very easily just scramble one time and hit it. But when you look at the trends of Burrow over the last, man, I'm looking at five games right now, Steven. He's missed it five games in a row. The last time that he actually hit this line would be back in week 13 against Kansas City. And now I understand you got that week 17 game against Buffalo that's technically on here. But even with that, man, you take that out and he still missed this line four out of four. And so with this, I think just the trend showing here that Burrow doesn't have to run it, that he can actually play lights out. And to be completely honest with you, why would Burrow want to run against the Miami Dolphins defense this week? And so I think with this game, man, to be completely honest with you, Steven, I think Burrow comes out, he throws a couple of touchdown passes, and then they basically just let Joe Mixon carry the rest of it. And so with this, I think he takes it easy. I think he's looking forward to the divisional round the next week. And so I'm going with the under here.
Yeah, man, I don't hate it at all. And like you said, we both know that these quarterbacks in particular can scramble for this on one play. I think, you know, in a game where Burrow might need to, he will. I don't think this is going to be a game where he needs to. I think he's going to stand up right back there. I think he's going to get rid of it when he needs to get rid of it. I think he's going to throw the ball when he needs to throw the ball. And that's going to be, you know, I mean, just throw it away when he needs to throw it away and not take any chances on getting hurt or anything like that. They're not going to have to score a whole ton of points to win this game to me. I don't think the Ravens are going to even be able to remotely keep up. So, man, I like it. I think Burrow's just going to stand back there in the pocket. I think he's going to distribute the ball, and when it's not there, he's just going to throw it away. So I'm in on this under 11 and a half rushing yards totally with you. All right, BJ, last player prop for me. Again, these rushing yards. Again, going with the under. And this one's a little shaky, I guess, in my eyes. It's one that doesn't feel as safe for some reason as some of these other ones, but at the same time, it feels safe. So, look, it's hard to kind of explain what I'm talking about here, but I'm going with Leonard Fournette, and I'm going under just 36 and a half rushing yards. And my logic on this is I have kind of watched Tampa Bay's offense evolve from what it was early in the year to what it is now.
Yeah.
This offense has evolved to Brady just throwing the ball all over the field. This offense has evolved from earlier in the year, Fournette really running the ball, to now it's just the Brady show throwing the ball. Not only that, you have Rashad White back there who is taking some away from Fournette. And I know they're trying to keep Fournette healthy and all that stuff. He sat last week. He should be fresh and ready to go. But, man, if you look back at Fournette, how he started the year, 21 carries, 24 carries, 12 carries, 14 carries, 21 carries. And then after that, it was a cliff. Sandwiched in between there, he had three carries versus the Kansas City. then 8, then 9, then 9, 14 and 10, then 4, then 10. So those 20 plus carries numbers hadn't happened in 2 months. And then on top of that, Rashad White coming in and taking some away. The last game he played versus Carolina in a win where you feel like they'd be running the ball, winning the game, he had 10 carries for 28 yards. So, BJ, in a game where I feel like Brady is going to be showing out, as you said, and I feel like it might be a high-flying game of a lot of passing, I don't think Fournette's going to rush for this. I'm going under Fournette, 36.5 rushing yards.
I don't mind it a bit, man. I'm actually looking at Fournette's numbers right now, and it seems like he's doing more damage, more actually good in the receiving game than anything.
He is.
It seems like that's where he's getting his points at in fantasy. But the biggest red flag for me with Leonard Fournette and fantasy football right now is his snap percentage. Just like what you said, Steven, early in the season, he was 75%+ in snap percentage for this offense. Since week 6, Steven, week 6, he has not been over 75% of snap shares. And not only that, but the last couple of games, I know Atlanta, they pulled their starters fairly early. It was only 5% snaps. Before that, Carolina, just like we just said, 46% snaps. And so with it, man, I agree with you. I think if this was a receiving line, I'd probably smash the over, but it's not. It's rushing. And so with it, I completely agree with you, man. I think Brady is going to be primetime Brady, and he is going to remind people why he is the best quarterback to play the game. And so, Steve, let's move into this last segment, man, and wrap this thing up. So last week we started a new segment where we're talking about the early 2023 breakout candidates. As we enter the offseason of Dynasty Football, it's kind of good to get an early start on buying low on players you expect to break out in the upcoming season. Players that come to mind last year would be Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, Josh Jacobs, Ramondre Stevenson, Tony Pollard, Amari Cooper, Brandon Ayuk, and Evan Ingram. You could actually get those players for stupid cheap last year. And so what we'll be looking at today is basically just will be players who finished outside the top 24 of their position who could easily break out in the year 23 and actually finish in the top 24. So let's pick two players outside the top 24 in the quarterback and the tight end positions this week. Steven, let's just start off with the gross quarterback class last year. Me and you both before the podcast looked at this list, and thank goodness I got mine in first, because I don't know how in the world you did it, man. And so with that being said, we looked at the top 24 players who finished and the quarterback position. And a couple of names stood out to me. So we'll alternate this, Steven. I'll go ahead and go first. Kenny Pickett. And like I said, I get it, man. I know that Pickett is not a hot quarterback. He's not somebody that just draws a ton of attention. But also, with that being said, man, I think Pickett is going to make strides. I think that he can show some progress here. And I think that he is a quarterback to kind of keep your eye on. I think he's a quarterback, like what you said, Steven, to where his price right now is pretty low. And, I mean, he came out of a quarterback class that was atrocious, you know, where Malik Willis was in it. And you saw how he's fared so far. But with this, man, I'm looking at his stats right now, Steven. The last three games that this kid's played, he's finished inside the top 24. He actually finished around QB 15 twice and QB 19 once. When you look at it as a season overall, he's actually hit inside the top 24 three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine times this year since he has been starting since week 4. And so, man, if you're telling me that he can get inside this top 24 next year whenever they should be adding a couple more pieces or getting a new coach or something, then I think Pickett's got a good chance to enter in. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be top 10. I'm just saying he can sneak in that top 24.
Yeah, man, I don't hate it. I don't love Kenny Pickett as a fantasy quarterback. I don't know – I think he's serviceable, right? I don't, and he'll be on the back half of this top 24 number. Like if he does sneak in, if he's able to sneak in and stay healthy and play an entire season and have some decent weapons. I know, did you see today Deontay Johnson unfollowed all Steelers on all social media platforms, completely disconnected with the team. Not a good look. Regardless, back to Kenny Pickett. Look, it's possible and plausible. As you said, this list is a little bit gross. And I just want to go ahead and say this, too, before we forget it. There are rookie considerations pending the NFL draft and landing spot for some of these rookie quarterbacks. It's hard for us to judge right now. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, You know, it's hard for us to judge if those guys can be in the top 24 when we don't even know where they're going. So I think this list could change after the rookie draft, and maybe something we look into, maybe something we look into later. But as of now, no rookies are in this for us, just so you know. But yeah, man, Kenny Pickett, I think he could be in there on the back end of this top 24, probably number 20 to 24. And be serviceable and sustainable as a back end QB too. All right, my QB, one I'm going with here. I feel like it's a lock if he can stay healthy. Matthew Stafford. Man, I know there's some buzz and some stuff going on with Sean McVay, and is he staying? What's going on with LA Rams? I know they're old, they're getting old, but man, Matthew Stafford, a healthy Matthew Stafford is a really, really good quarterback. He's a really, really good fantasy quarterback. And you know, who knows what's going to happen with that whole situation, but I still think Matthew Stafford comes back next year and is the starting quarterback for the Rams. And I think he's going to be good. I think he can definitely finish inside that top 24 again and give it a little career resurgence here at the end of his career. And probably stay around that number for maybe the next 2 to 3 years. He'll be inside that number. But man, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the coaching situations there. It's kind of a up in the air situation. Who knows? Can Sean Payton sneak into LA there and quarterback Matthew Stafford? I don't think that's something Sean Payton's probably looking for. He's probably looking for a younger guy. But man, you just never know. So Matthew Stafford, I've got him back in that top 24 next year.
Yeah, I don't have any arguments with it at all. I think Stafford's a really, really good quarterback, and I think with it, I know, like you said, his health hasn't been the greatest this year, but I'm just looking at his numbers right now, and he finished outside the top 24 only twice out of the multiple games that he played before he got injured. Right. And so, yeah, absolutely, Steven. I don't mind this a bit, man. Mm-hmm. Going to my second quarterback, a quarterback who I do not agree with ethically with anything, but a quarterback that I think actually gets back into that top 24 next year. And it is Deshaun Watson. I know the Browns, we kind of have some trauma built up with us as NFL fans of just a gross team and a disgusting team and all that. But dude, I remember that very first performance, Steven, whenever Deshaun Watson came back and he went to Houston in week 13, it was tough to watch, you know, missing throws left and right. But after that, he played 5 games, Steven. Out of those 5 games, do you know how many that he got inside of the top 24 of the position?
How many is that?
All 5. The last 2 games that he actually played, he was inside the top 10, Steven. And so with this, man, Deshaun Watson, they got weapons there, man. They got Chubb. I think they actually probably let Hunt walk. But even with that, man, the receiving core there, having David Njoku, having Amari Cooper, Donovan Peoples-Jones, even David Bell, if they can get that guy inside of the actual targets and things like that, I think Deshaun Watson easily cracks this top 24. I think if you bought him for a steal in Dynasty, then you're going to be plugging him in next year. And so I think he's a player that has that resurgence.
Yeah, man, I don't hate it. And I even asked you when we were pre-show talking about this a little bit, and I said, man, what about Deshaun Watson? He was like, yeah, I got him. I was like, dadgummit, because the list was so brutal. And I don't hate it. I agree with it. As long as Deshaun can stay away from the massage parlors in the offseason, I think he's got a really, really good chance to jump back into this top 24 next year. Really have no argument there. So, BJ, my second quarterback and last quarterback of this awful list, going back with a veteran quarterback here, and I think my guy Jimmy G is going to be back in this top 24. I think Jimmy G is a good quarterback. I think he's going to go somewhere and he's going to start. There's going to be too many teams that are going to be quarterback needy on the market mm-hmm. for Jimmy G not to start, whether it's back with San Francisco, which I think is probably highly unlikely with the way Brock Purdy's been playing, with you got Trey Lance coming back and he's going to be behind Brock Purdy next year, learning and observing. But I think that Jimmy G is going to go somewhere and he's definitely going to start this year or next year. I'm sorry. After he gets right. There's just, again, there's going to be too many teams looking for a quarterback. And I think Jimmy G's perfectly capable of being into that, you know, top 24, probably around the 18 to 20 mark, somewhere around in there, and sustaining that number if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, I think he's a good bridge quarterback for a new, fresh off the rookie class quarterback coming in. I could very easily see one of these teams turning it over to Jimmy G. And even if they don't draft a quarterback next year, if they just say, hey, we're going to wait till Caleb Williams or Drake May comes out in 2024, I could see them giving the keys to Jimmy G for one more year. And so with it, man, I'm looking at Jimmy G's numbers right now, and I don't hate it a bit, Steven. I know that they had fantastic weapons in San Francisco, but even with that, I think Jimmy G is very, very serviceable. And I think with him, he can definitely finish inside that top 24.
Absolutely.
So let's turn over to the tight end class, Steven. This is a class to where this position, man, it's been gross. And it has been one that has not been fun this year. I think if you did not have Travis Kelce on your team, you probably didn't have a good tight end. And so with it, we're just looking for potential, specifically in our tight end premium leagues. Who can you get as a value? For instance, if you bought George Kittle before he broke out in week, what was it, 13, 14, then good job. But with this, one player that I've been keeping my eyes on, he's actually on IR right now and played with a really bad offense this year until the coach got fired. But that is Greg Dulcich, the tight end for the Denver Broncos. He is a very, very young tight end. I think he was actually a rookie in this class. And with it, man, he came in this year with Denver, basically took Albert O's job from him whenever he came off of the injured reserve in week six, and actually ended up killing it, Steven. As far as his, man, I should have counted this beforehand, his 10 games that he played this season, he actually finished outside the top 24 in only three of them. And you know how bad that offense was this year. It's been very, very hopeful for Denver after the last two games to see Russell Wilson actually kind of throwing the ball and Jerry Jeudy doing really good. And so I think Dulcich finds his spot in this offense. I know that the Broncos were actually one of the teams that were tied to Peyton as well. And so, with it, I think Dulcich comes in next year. I think he's a fantastic, fantastic buy in a tight end premium league. And, I think it's just somebody to kind of keep an eye on.
Yeah, I don't hate it at all. I know that Dulcich has, they say, has some wide receiver skill sets at playing the tight end position, so I like it. Who knows what's going to go on with the coach there and Russell Wilson. You know, we hope he kind of gets back on track. Broncos country, let's ride, baby. You know, we'll see. I think Albert O's still a name that you got to watch, though. Mm-hmm. I think he's talented enough that he's not going to go away. I know 2 weeks ago against Kansas City, he actually had six targets on three catches for 45 yards and a touchdown. So he's not just going to completely go away. He had a pretty abysmal year this year. I had some really good offers for him in tight end premium leagues when the news broke about Wilson in the offseason and all that good stuff. And, of course, we're all high on players when things like that happen. I had some, not any must accept offers, but I had some good ones that I would accept today. I'll say that. But with that being said, that's how fantasy football goes. You miss some and you hit some, and that's how it goes. But I don't think Albert O is a name that's going to completely go away. However, I do think Dulcich has proven that he's got a skill set that is kind of rare. And he's kind of being used as a tight end and a slot receiver role and things like that. So I could definitely see this playing out in his favor and being in the top 24 this coming up year.
Oh, yeah.
All right, my first tight end in this list of awful, awful tight ends is your boy and your guy, the guy that nobody would have come off of a year and a half ago, the guy that still people will not trade for less than three firsts. I've seen it, BJ. I've seen it.
Mm.
Your boy, Kyle Pitts. Finished outside of the top 24. I think he's finished, I should have saw it a while ago. 30. It was around 31 or 2. I don't know for sure, but somewhere around there this year. Man, look, the draft capital, what was he picked in the NFL draft, BJ?
104, wasn't it? 103.
104? Like, yeah, top five. I mean, in the NFL draft, top five pick. He's going to have his opportunity, BJ. And I'm not saying it's all on Kyle. It's the system. It's the team. It's the quarterback. It's a lot going on there that's limiting his numbers early in his career. I think next year, we talked about this pre-show. I hope next year, for some of these players' sake, that the Atlanta Falcons go get a quarterback. They got to go get one. Some way, somehow, they got to trade for one. They got to sign one. They got to do something. They got to have a quarterback because Desmond Ridder ain't it. Marcus Mariota ain't it. And so for Kyle Pitts to do this, to get back into this top 24, to get in this top 24, he's going to need a quarterback to throw him the ball. But I definitely think that he can be back in this top 24 wide receivers. I do think he's talented. I know we take shots at players. But, you know, and everybody knows I'm not a Kyle Pitts guy. But to say that he can't get in the top 24, that he won't be in the top 24, that's probably a reach. I think he will be in the top 24. So I'm going Kyle Pitts here.
I think we was talking before the show, Steven, and I actually said I think Kyle Pitts probably has the most chance, the better percentage to actually get inside the top 24 out of this whole list. Just because of the fact that I do think that Atlanta goes out and get a quarterback. I think they actually go get a veteran. Lord, I hope they don't go make a reunion with Matty Ice. And so with that being said, though, man, I think no matter what quarterback comes into that system, as long as Arthur Smith is gone and as long as they get a quarterback that can throw a decent pass, man, you got weapons like Drake London and Kyle Pitts there, and I'm sure they're going to add some more in the draft class this year. And so with it, man, I think absolutely. I looked at his numbers a while ago, and he did have a couple of games inside those top 10 even this year. But my second tight end that I'm going with and my final one, so that way we can get done with this stupid position, is another tight end that used to play wide receiver that has those tendencies. Now this guy is 30 years old, but man, he was a top four dynasty tight end, not just even a little bit ago. And that is Darren Waller. I think people have forgotten about this man. Because of the injury history, it seems like the guy cannot stay healthy to save his life. But when he is on the field, he still has it, man. The last couple of games, Steven, Lord, was it week 17 that Jarrett Stidham actually ended up starting? With it, he threw the ball to Darren Waller for 3 receptions and 72 yards and a touchdown. Whenever Darren Waller came back from that injury in week 15, he finished the season not playing more than 67% of snaps. 3 of his games, he was below 60, and 2 of those games, he was below 50% of snaps, and yet he still finished inside the top 24, even inside the top 12, 3 out of those 4 games. And so with it, man, Darren Waller still has it. He can still get chunk plays. He's still putting up 50-plus yards in his game. And so with that being said, man, who knows who the Las Vegas quarterback is next year. But whoever it is going to be coming into a pretty good system when they can throw the ball to Davante Adams, hopefully, and Darren Waller. And so with it, I think he's got some really good chance to get back in there.
Yeah, man, I like it. I love Darren Waller. I think he's a good player. I think he's a force on that offense. And it looked like Jarrett Stidham really likes him. Like you said, the first week Stidham started, 5 targets, 3 catches, 72 yards receiving. That was his second highest number going all the way back to week 1 when he was 100% healthy. So 72 receiving yards on that week 17 start with Jarrett Stidham. And, you know, I like it. The last 4 weeks, as you said, all top 24 finishes. So good for Darren Waller, and I agree. I think he'll be back in that top. I think he'll be back in that top 24. No problem if he can stay healthy. That's the only thing, is the health issue. Before we move on to my last awful pick, I just want to talk about Stidham for a second since you brought him up. Is he the guy? Is he the one? Is he it?
I think if they go out and get a bridge quarterback like Jimmy G, honestly. I think that they know that. I mean, Stidham had one good game, and then if you watch the game after that, he looked terrible. And so, man, I think with it, they go out, they get one of these veterans who, I don't know why in the world they're doing Derek Carr the way they're doing them. But I think they go out and get a bridge quarterback and just kind of ride it out for another year or two and then go get them another quarterback.
Yeah, I can see that. I also think that, you know, they may give him a shot though, right? I mean, he may have deserved a shot. You know, Josh McDaniel actually brought him over with him from the Patriots. So there's some history there. There's a lot of history there. So I think they may give him a shot. We'll see. We'll see how it goes, but I could also see them bridging it. It's going to be one of those things that it's going to be a definitely to watch off season for the Raiders, and their quarterback situation. All right, my very last one, tight end here for break out to go back into or get in the top 24. This is a reach, and I'm going to go ahead and say it's a reach before I even tell you who it is. It's a reach because he's technically probably the tight end two still on this team, and he might be the tight end two to start the year next year. But I'm going to go with Trey McBride. I think he's a up-and-coming tight end with the Cardinals. I do think he's still behind Zach Ertz, but as we saw, Zach Ertz this year has gotten hurt. I know Trey McBride still really hadn't taken off, but, man, the talent's there. And maybe with another offseason and a new coach and a new regime, they give him a shot to kind of be the guy. We'll see. But I know, like I said, it's a reach. But this is disgusting. These tight ends are disgusting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we want to just try to talk about a guy that may have the potential to do that. And Trey McBride is my guy here with some potential.
Let me read you a stat line real quick, Steven. Tight end two on the week, 10 targets, 7 receptions, 78 yards, and a touchdown. With Trey McBride, I remember in a lot of my leagues, Steven, I actually drafted him, and I remember you telling me, what are you doing, man? Like, you're a win-now team, and you're drafting a tight end two on a team. And in a lot of those leagues, I actually traded him out before he kind of had some of this resurgence here. But, man, I'm looking at his last five games, Steven. And that's after the bye week in week 13. He finished out the year, Trey McBride did, with 4 out of 5 games inside of the top 24 at the tight end position. I understand Zach Ertz got hurt. I understand that Ertz should be back next year and should be going on a retirement party and playing his last couple of seasons. But even with that, man, if they're trying to build this offense around Kyler Murray, then, I mean, they got to start taking an actual turn towards some young youth and looking at players that have high potential. And I think McBride's a good buy in a class or a position that is as gross as that tight end position. So I think it's a good call for sure.
Yeah, I don't hate it at all. And like I said, when I picked it, I thought, man, this is gross. But at the same time, again, like you said, this is a segment where we're looking at some gross position and some gross players that is outside of this top 24 in tight ends. I mean, like you said, if you didn't have Kelsey, even if you had a tight end one, if it was a back end tight end one, it was gross. It was gross. Yep. So look, Trey McBride inside the top 24. I'm going to call it. I think there's potential there for sure. Like you said, he finished out the year very, very, very strong. And with a new coach, a new regime, if they're trying to get a little younger and build Kyler Murray up and around a very, very good offense, I think Trey McBride may be a part of that.
Oh yeah, for sure. So, man, we just want to take this time and just thank our listeners. Man, each and every week you guys support us. I think we actually had a pretty high crowd this past week. And so we just want to take time and say thank y'all. Thank y'all for just listening. Thank you for checking this out. We also want to take time and thank our friends over at the Jab Step Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Y'all go check them out on Twitter, all podcast platforms. Our friend Ben McCarthy over there talks all things basketball. So go check them out. Also, man, we just want to continue growing our audience. If you see us share an episode on Twitter, post our player props, whatever, man, give us a retweet, get our name out there a little bit. It's not all about the listens and stuff for us. It's just about getting good quality content out there, even if we miss with a couple of our underdog player props. Also, follow us on Twitter at LOL Dynasty Pod. You can follow me at AfroDynamics 116. You can follow Steven at SDeaton24. Man, also, we wouldn't mind if you gave us an honest and genuine 5-star review over on whichever podcast platform you choose. Steven, I'm going to turn it over to you, man, with some final fantasy advice, and we'll wrap this thing up.
Man, we're here in the off season, man, and I think it's a nice time to, like we talked about earlier, evaluate your teams, evaluate your positioning in these playoffs. And I know I said that it's probably not a good time to sell veterans, and that rings true. You know, unless one of your veterans goes off on wild card weekend. So I think that I think it's still pivotal that you watch some of these playoff games. I think you need to enjoy wild card weekend here. And if you're not playing in any playoff format, NFL playoff format, fantasy, that you just really keep an eye on your players in your dynasty leagues. And if it's somebody that you're looking to move and they have a good week in one of these playoff games, maybe you want to kick the tires on moving them. So just stay tuned into the playoffs, enjoy wild card weekend, root for your dynasty guys to deliver so that you can make some amazing trades in the coming weeks.
Absolutely, Steven. I couldn't agree with you more, man. I'm looking at one particular player that was the first one to draw my attention. You said just now, if they have a playoff game where they kill it, it may not be bad to just throw them on the block. There is a wide receiver out there right now, Steven, 23 years old, who in the division round last year put up a stat line of 10 targets, 8 receptions, 201 yards, and 4 touchdowns in a divisional game. Do you know who that player is, Steven?
I couldn't tell you, BJ.
It is Gabriel Davis.
Yep.
And so with it, man, always be watching. Always be willing to trade your so-called studs. And, man, just make those moves. We hope that you have a fantastic weekend this weekend watching football and that y'all enjoy it. And we'll see you next week.